preparing to deploy the first swimmers. Everybody on the carrier now trying to use binoculars to get a look at the splash point out there near the aircraft carrier Hornet. On the bridge of the carrier, the president, the head of the National Space Agency, other dignitaries observing this picture. That was the air boss and commenting to the spacecraft in the water, which went into its stable two position, upside down. It can be stable either with its cone down into the water or with the apex up, resting on the flat or heat shield side. Swim two. The first swimmer is in the water next to the spacecraft. He is beginning to connect one of the rings, the flotation rings. Just confirmation from the air boss, the helicopter hovering overhead, back to the carrier. The confirmation through radio channels to the carrier. You're monitoring with us this communication. It's the sea anchor. The sea anchor has been deployed and attached to the spacecraft to keep it from drifting in the sea, to try to make it stay in the same relative spot.
The sea anchor has been deployed by the swimmer.
The word also there from Jack Riley in the mission.
Copy one, Apollo 11.
Call to Apollo 11.
This is a 401. The first swimmer has given a thumbs up.
The first swimmer has given us a thumbs up. A photo helicopter reporting that the first swimmer is giving a thumbs up. Air boss, this is Apollo 11. The flotation collar next to be attached by the swimmers. The second swimmer there in the water also. What's the condition? They're trying to get a report from... Crew is excellent. Both checklists have been accomplished inside the spacecraft. I think he said something about another swimmer in the water.
Three swimmers in the water from swim two. Swim two, Hilo.
That's the third helicopter. The third swimmer is in the water from helicopter number two. Photo one would be the photographic helicopter. On the bridge also with the president and the head of the space agency, astronaut Frank Gorman. Just picking up your communications now more clearly from the spacecraft, the Airbus and the Hornet confirm. You're listening to this landing in the Pacific Ocean, Apollo 11 returning to Earth, coming to you through the Voice of America.
The crew has reported to Airbus that they're in excellent condition.
Crew reported to Airbus. That's the helicopter hovering overhead, the helicopter in charge of the pickup operation. All of a sudden,
rotation collar is about halfway around the spacecraft now.
Three swimmers. Three swimmers attaching. Communications cutting out there from the air boss. In fact, his communication is almost coming and going in cycles there. Is there the... It's a bit difficult to read, to understand.
401, the uprighting bags, two are fully inflated, one is partially inflated.
Flotation bags, two fully inflated, number one partially inflated. The collar has been attached, comes the word from one of the helicopters. still cutting out there periodically. If you're an electronic specialist, you might surmise that there's a little bit too much media.
Flotation collar is attached now.
Flotation collar is attached now. You hear another channel with a slight hum on it.
And the collar is inflated.
Word coming back to mission control. The collar is inflated. That will stabilize the rocking motion of the spacecraft there in the sea. All of these American spacecraft, the Mercury, the Gemini, the Apollo, they're bell-shaped. The photo helicopter is said something about
Airbus
one of the
rafts. Reporting the spacecraft riding very smoothly.
Riding very smoothly now with this flotation collar attached. These spacecraft are excellent in space, but they're not very comfortable boats.
Squad, this is Harder Bridge. Request a tack end on top. Over.
This is photo one. The raft is in the water.
Photo one. The raft is in the water.
4-1 degree radio, 9 miles.
Half hour.
5 miles range. The tack end they're referring to is a UHF ranging device used in aircraft. They're giving the range by the readings from the helicopters, the electronic instruments ranging back to the carrier. Photo number one reporting that. Something about the command module there. A little bit garbled, the discussion. The raft is in the water, flotation collar around the spacecraft, making it ride more easily, more comfortably. Nine miles on the 210 radio. Air Boss One. Photo one again. About to drop the second draft. Air Boss is now talking about radar bearings from the Hornet to the spacecraft.
Second raft is in the water, 75 feet upwind.
Something about 75 feet upwind. One of the helicopters, 75 feet upwind. Raft number two is inflated, comes the word from the photo helicopter. Missed that transmission. In mission control, Gene Wendler, Cliff Charlesworth, and Jim Lenny watching their consoles. Gene Kranz nearby also. All of the men involved as the flight directors.
Getting ready to deploy the swimmer with the biological isolation garments.
The men in mission control now listening and watching.
The other swimmers.
The weather in the area, said photo one. Not very. He's cutting out again, his transmissions. The weather in the area is considerably overcast and cloudy.
Raft number one, one swimmer and raft number two, deploying the sea anchor.
He's discussing the deployment. Sea anchor, rafts number one, two, and I thought he said number three. Several rafts to be deployed and attached to the flotation collar. The biological garments to be tossed inside to the astronauts. They will don these garments, which will keep them completely isolated from terrestrial matter. The air they breathe will be filtered as they breathe it out. The biological garment-carrying swimmers in the water. This, I believe, would be the third of the swimmers. Raft number two.
Recovery one is in position, standing by to lower bank of bait.
Recovery one is in position, standing by to lower
Roger.
Said the bag of Biggs. Those are the Biggs, B-I-G-S, biological isolation garments. Apparently, they have not lowered them yet, according to that report. I believe
the
that
swimmer with the biological isolation garments is in the raft next to the spacecraft.
Apparently, they're lowering the garments to that swimmer in the raft.
That's Lieutenant Clancy Hadleberg of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. He's also wearing a biological isolation garment.
3-1 is in position, lowering the bag of Biggs at this time.
Lieutenant J.G. Clancy Hadleberg, who's got to toss in those garments to the men when they quickly open the hatch. Then Lieutenant Hadleberg will wash down the
spacecraft. And the helo is lowering the astronauts' Biggs, or biological isolation garments, to Lieutenant Hadleberg.
When the astronauts egress in the garment, first of all, they will put these clothes on, then climb into a raft, then they will be taken up into the helicopter while safely inside the biological isolation garments, brought to the carrier from there straight into the mobile quarantine facility. It escapes me at the moment as to whether Lieutenant Hadleberg also will have to go in
the MQF.
The report
is that the bag of Biggs is in raft number two.
Biggs in raft number two. Another report from photo helicopter number one, I believe. You're hearing the communication from the helicopters hovering over the spacecraft. Anytime the astronauts answer, their voices also are on this channel, coming back through the carrier Hornet to Mission Control, from which point we're picking it up for broadcast to you. The Biggs are in raft number two. Command module is simple.
Very stable.
The seas are calm enough for the spacecraft to be very stable in its position as it's rocking there some 3 to, there are several different reports on the distance from the carrier. We shouldn't speculate, I guess. One report about 3 kilometers, some 15,000 yards. Request to determine condition of the astronauts. That was Mike Collins, says
that
our...
That was Mike Collins reporting the crew was excellent.
Which swimmer is trying to...
Mike Collins reporting the crew is in good shape. Take your time. Crew is fine, patiently waiting. The medics are a bit worried about their condition.
One swimmer in raft one with full scuba. What are the other swimmers doing?
A question from Air Boss about the swimmer in full scuba outfit in raft one. Scuba is the diving tank attached to the swimmer's back. If he has to go down under the surface, he is prepared to breathe his air from a tank on his back. The scuba outfit for divers is very much like the backpack the astronauts
Lieutenant
wore on the moon.
Putting on his biological isolation garment.
Visibility is greater than 15 miles. One report. Still right at the crack of dawn out there in the Pacific. Not too bright. Clouds hanging very low over the ocean. And I've seen a couple of different reports. One of the Air Boss. Air Boss is asking the winds.
4 to 6 feet, over.
Waves 4 to 6 feet. Winds from 065 to 20 knots. Waves 4 to 6 feet. The Air Boss helicopter hovering overhead asking for this information. This so he can better judge what's happening to the spacecraft. It's drifting.
Making adjustments
into his garment. He has his garment on his legs and shoulders. He's trying to zip it up this time.
The swimmer, Lieutenant Clancy Hadleberg, is trying to get on his biological isolation garment. He's trying to get this suit zipped up at the moment. He must have himself completely isolated also before he gets near the hatch. Then the hatch will be opened, and he will toss inside three more biological isolation garments for the three astronauts to don. Voice of America bringing you this worldwide.
The ship reports it is now 7 miles from the spacecraft.
7 miles, another report. Ship 7 miles from the spacecraft. That would be nautical miles, some 12 to 13 kilometers away.
Photo 1, the big swimmer is...
Photo 1, reporting. Big
swimmer. I don't want to time.
Big swimmer is... has apparently finished getting the garment... That was photo 1. Can't quite read that transmission to Airboss. Airboss heard and confirmed. Sorry, we couldn't be privy to that conversation in very clear fashion that time. Lieutenant Hadleberg has apparently finished zipping up his biological isolation garment and Biggs and is preparing now to go to the hatch. We're listening to two different helicopters talking to each other. One is called Air Boss. The other one is called Photo 1. Photographs are being taken from Photo 1 of all of this operation from just a few meters in the air above the spacecraft. That was Air Boss, I believe. That was Mike Collins reporting. This is Apollo 11. Tell him to take his sweet time. It's not, we're just fine. It's not quite as stable in here, but we're all right. That word coming from inside the spacecraft from Mike Collins. Some of these transmissions are cutting out as they're being relayed back through the aircraft carrier. We're trying to listen to every word as they are also being relayed from the aircraft carrier back through the Mission Control Center in Houston. Raft number 2 is now beside the command module at this time, reports the photo helicopter. This is just a little too far from the carrier to be seen very clearly. Big swimmer is trying
to... Unofficial splash time, 195 hours, 18 minutes, 21 seconds.
Big swimmer is in one this time.
Big swimmer transferring from one raft to another, apparently, there, and that's photo helicopter reporting. Jack Ryan in Mission Control giving us an unofficial splash time of 195.18. That would have been about that would have been at about 16 hours 51 VMT. These transmissions coming from the aircraft carrier, from the helicopters near the aircraft carrier, to the aircraft carrier, to Mission Control, through our Voice of America pickup spot at the Mission Control Center, and then to you all over the world. Another report on something the swimmers are doing there. Since the events are occurring some 13 to 14 kilometers
Hornet
distance.
Hornet reports the other swimmers are now upwind of the command module, leaving Lieutenant Hadleberg in his big and with the decontaminant that will be placed around the hatch and on the...
The one, the big swimmer is securing. There's another equipment in the one.
The big swimmer is securing or attaching something. The big swimmer has transferred, apparently, some of the other garments, the other gear, probably up to the flotation collar or to a raft.
Hadleberg is now transferring the bigs to the crew.
The hatch must be open by now. He's transferring it to the crew, apparently. Three garments.
Hornet now estimates they are 4¾ miles away from the spacecraft.
Hornet is getting closer all the time. The spacecraft is... Spacecraft's
the bigs are in the command module and the hatch has been closed again.
Swim team leader asking for a radio check.
Swim team leader, read you the same, over.
Swim team leader asking for a radio check.
Lieutenant Hadleberg is called the big swimmer.
The bigs, the man wearing the biological isolation garment. Big swimmer is proceeding with his next procedure step. Waiting for a little further explanation of what that step is at this point.
The big swimmer is now spraying the hatch area and the top deck and around the hatch on the command module with a decontaminant.
This is this decontaminant which he is supposed to spray on the area where the hatch was briefly opened is an iodide solution, very similar to surgical soap.
We're 4 miles out making our approach.
4 miles out, about 8.5 kilometers away in that vicinity. That means one of the helicopters is apparently coming back, saying making our approach.
Hornet advises the crew they're 4 miles away.
That was, that was a word from the Hornet. Some of these transmissions coming from the command room in the aircraft carrier.
The big swimmer has the flotation collar is now on raft number one.
Flotation collar now on raft number one. That word from one of the helicopters, that sounded like photo helicopter reporting more of the movement of the men around the command module. It's a gray morning out there in the Pacific with a lot of cloud cover. Very gentle seas. The astronauts report themselves in good condition inside. Just waiting with... these hovering helicopters for the next step in the procedure. First is to isolate the men from all possible contamination with terrestrial organisms. They are being protected, we are being protected from them as it goes this time. You've been listening with us to most of the communication, the clearest communication, the clearest way of staying in touch with... Big swimmer still in raft number one. He apparently has...
Hornet, understand that big swimmer has completed his decontamination of the command module, is that correct?
This is 401,
Air boss asking, is it...
explanation, and then he went 2-1.
Air boss was asking, is that correct that the big swimmer has completed his decontamination? Spraying the hatch area of the command module with an iodized solution, very similar to surgical soap. The Earth is being protected from the environment, from the extraterrestrial matter being brought back.
From Pacific Chief, you are cutting out. You may be releasing your key too early on transmissions, over.
This is 401, roger.
There's the word to Photo 1 that his transmissions are coming out.
Hornet reports it was 13 miles from the aim point at Splash. The carrier was 13 miles from the aim point at Splash.
Getting closer all the time, you also heard a report just a moment ago that the carrier is conducting its approach about, now less than 8 kilometers away, some 4 nautical miles or less. The original distance from the carrier, about 12 kilometers. I beg your pardon, more than that. About 20 kilometers distance. Three helicopters are right there in the area over the command module as it's floating gently in the Pacific Ocean. Procedures being followed step by step. Photo one with another observation about the big swimmer. He cut out again. His transmission becoming unclear. Most of the commentary and reporting back to the carrier and through mission control has been coming from a helicopter called Photo One. He's closer than is the air boss, the supervisor of the pickup operation.
The big swimmer is reported communicating with the astronauts by visual hand signals through the hatch window.
That's Lieutenant Clancy Hattleberg, the big swimmer. He's the man who has to drop down and put on a biological isolation garment himself. That's a tongue twister. That's Neil Armstrong making some comment there. Cutting out slightly on us as the spacecraft bobs up and down in the gentle waters of the Pacific. It's a fairly calm sea today, about 4 feet waves. Winds about 20 knots from 65 degrees from the northeast. Television is being picked up and relayed to many parts of the world. Many of you may be able to watch this on live TV just about everywhere in the world. And this picture coming back to the aircraft carrier or being transmitted from the Hornet shows the spacecraft gently bobbing in the ocean with photo helicopter number one right overhead. Off to the left can be seen the air boss. A very gray sky overhead, and not a brightly sunlit day at all. It's just after dawn out there in the Pacific, and bright red lights can be seen blinking on the helicopters. Every now and then, some of the television producers put a little circle around the spacecraft so that you TV viewers, wherever you may be watching, may distinguish which one of those blobs bobbing in the Pacific is the spacecraft and not just another wave.
First astronaut is now emerging.
First astronaut emerging from the spacecraft. The hatch is open. The astronauts are going out into one of the life rafts. Some of the swimmers are in another raft some distance away. Different procedures this time to make sure that the men are isolated from us. Swim one reporting. One of more of the astronauts Now outside in the life raft, waiting to be picked up. Recovery helicopters
astronaut
hovering
number
overhead.
Two coming out the hatch now.
It's difficult to see from the carrier still closing in. Pick up helicopters ready to lower what is called the Billy Pugh net. This is a basket-like device on a cable, a hoist in the helicopter to quickly swing them up and out of a life
raft. Crewman is out of the spacecraft now.
Third crewman in the life raft. The hatch will then be quickly closed, and Lieutenant Clancy Hattelberg will seal it up and again wash it down with surgical solution.
Hatch closed and
secured. Hatch closed and secured. Let's see. Waiting for pickup now, the recovery helicopter right overhead, preparing to drop that net for the first astronaut to be picked up. The carrier getting closer and closer now, less than 4 nautical miles. The air boss, very close also, watching the operation.
Oh, yes,
another helicopter called Photo 1 standing by. On the bridge of the carrier, closing in from a distance, the President of the United States, Dr. Thomas Paine, head of the National Space Agency, astronaut Frank Borman,
that,
others.
The swimmer is having some difficulty securing the hatch, and one of the astronauts is helping him.
Lieutenant Hattelberg having trouble closing the hatch. The astronauts know that mechanism even better than he, one of them helping him. All three of these men, the swimmer, the three astronauts, completely enclosed in biological isolation garments. All of the rock boxes, all of the samples brought from the moon, still inside, safely tucked away. When the spacecraft is picked up and brought aboard the carrier, it too will be isolated and sealed up. That hatch must be sealed, and again, the exterior of the spacecraft washed down with antiseptic solution, so that all three of the astronauts are in the life raft number one. That report. On the bridge,
hatch is now
everyone watching
reported
anxiously.
Secured.
The hatch has been latched securely. Next will come the operation of picking up the astronauts, lifting them aboard the helicopter. I don't know at this point if our downrange correspondents have a better view, or do we, through mission control.
Hornet now 1¼ miles from the spacecraft.
The Hornet's closing in very well here. Getting closer, so it's moved some 3 miles in the last 5 minutes. That's a large piece of machinery to maneuver around in the ocean. It must be done very gently. They can't pick up speed very fast, nor can they slow down very fast. The recovery helicopter is right overhead, getting reports now. Something about... There was one transmission about the forward portion or upper portion of the command module from the air boss and recovery helicopters. Shouldn't be long now before we see that Billy Pugh net, that pickup net from the helicopter, drop down to the surface.
And Lieutenant Hattelberg spraying decontaminant around the hatch.
That's that iodide solution that's very common to every... one who's ever been in an operating room or around surgical procedures. Very similar to surgical soap. This to kill any organisms which could possibly have been brought back from the moon. The whole purpose of this quarantine procedure to prevent any contamination of the Earth from an extraterrestrial body. That's Neil Armstrong. No. Sounds very much like him, but he has no radios out there in the raft. These are some of the recovery forces reporting on their progress. Still very dimly lit in the early dawn of the Pacific, and the bright lights, the bright red flashing beacons on the helicopters are punctuating this pickup operation. Little bright spots over a great sea of blue. The spacecraft is riding gently, 4-foot waves about, waves about a meter and a half high, gentle swells. The flotation collar has considerably stabilized the spacecraft.
And the swimmer now scrubbing down the command module with the decontaminant.
The swimmer, of course, is Lieutenant Clancy Hadleberg, who had to put on one of those biological garments also, and I'm pretty sure that he must go into quarantine with the astronauts and with the engineer and the doctor waiting inside the mobile quarantine facility. There's a request for information from some of the pickup forces. Has Photo 1 completed its... The transmissions are cutting out. As the carrier gets closer and closer, it's much easier for everyone on board to see the operation and also for everyone around the world watching television to share.
Now started scrubbing the astronauts' biological isolation garments with the decontaminant.
The astronauts themselves must undergo this scrubbing or spraying with the surgical solution.
Hornet estimates distance 3/4 of a mile now.
3/4 of a mile, though, about 1.5 kilometers distance. And the President of the United States can now get a much better view of this operation. He's standing on the bridge watching through binoculars as the Hornet slowly closes in. Now let's switch to our downrange reporter, Don Blair, and see what view he can give us from the deck of the Hornet as the carrier closes in.
Going on the air in 20 seconds from now.
He has about another 20 seconds until this report begins. We're still watching the spacecraft bob gently on the surface of the ocean. The helicopter hovering overhead. We're waiting for this scrub-down procedure to be completed. Let's go now to downrange and Don Blair.
This is Don Blair. We're on the 07 level of the USS Hornet, which is now, no more than a mile or two away from the Apollo 11 command module, where Lieutenant Clancy Hadleberg, the number one UDT man, the underwater demolition team member, the swimmer, big swimmer, as we've been calling him here all morning, is now in the process of scrubbing down one of the three Apollo 11 astronauts. And that is his most important job here this morning. We're also in a windier area because we have moved slightly around to the other side of this 07 level. And we have a significantly better vantage point than we did a moment ago. We have a partly cloudy sky condition continuing. But as I said a few minutes ago before we left the air momentarily, we have plenty of blue Pacific sky showing through. And right now, all that well-waxed white of the helicopters hovering over the scene of the Apollo 11 spacecraft is coming very, very much to view. And matter of fact, if this ship were just a few hundred yards closer, we could read the numbers on the side of the helicopters very, very clearly. A few white caps out there now on this blue Pacific. I can see the spacecraft quite clearly. I can see the color of the flotation collar, and I can see the orange raft, which is 100 yards upwind. Now, this is where the first swim team will position itself and remain until such time as Clancy Hadleberg has completed the scrubbing down of the Apollo 11 astronauts. And they turn around, and decontaminate him. Now, to some of the skeptics on this whole decontamination procedure, the idea of you decontaminate me and I decontaminate you may sound, it's been mentioned here. Doesn't this sound like a little bit too much, gentlemen, and all that sort of thing? But you won't get NASA to say it, believe me, because of that slim chance that does exist and which has to be taken into account, that there is even a microcosmic chance that they could be bringing back any type of contamination to this old Earth. So the procedure is being done, it's being gone through, and it will be carried through to its necessary completion. We can see those bobbing heads of the men of Apollo 11, who so recently, two of them anyway, stood on the moon. incredible as it seems, they are now back in a very earthly situation, floating around in a bobbing rubber life raft. So everything continues in an excellent situation. The work which remains to be done primarily out of the spacecraft is not nearly as consequential to the commentary of this mission as it might seem, because what happens is that after the astronauts are lifted into the helicopter, which could come any minute now, the men who are left behind, the UDT men, have to fill the rafts with sodium hypochlorite, which is has been likened to, well, one of the most common bleaches, Mrs. Housewife, that you would use in your own laundry. Any bleach that you use that has the strong odor of chlorine in it, I'm sure you know what I mean. This is the basic idea behind sodium hypochlorite. It has, of course, a strong medicinal odor, and its value as a decontaminant, a disinfectant, is widely known. So widely known that it almost seems too common, doesn't it, to be used on a moon mission? But yet it does the job, and it does the job very, very well. The number two astronaut, whichever one he may be, is scrubbing the head and shoulders now of the number three astronaut. We cannot see this really visually. We can see the figures. We can see the orange raft on the blue ocean right above it. The number 70 helicopter, which is the photo helo, which is recording this for posterity, is hovering, its lights still blinking, as I'm sure they will continue to do, even though this sky is getting brighter and brighter and lighter and bluer by the minute. Not too far from where this scrubbing is going on, maybe 50 feet, 100 feet, is the Apollo 11 spacecraft, floating on an orange collar. And even from this point, I don't know what the exact range is, Chuck. You're the aviator on the deck here. What do you think? 1,000 yards? I was going to make an educated guess, but I won't say it was going to be that close. But Chuck Smith, my compatriot here this morning, says it's about 1,000 yards off the port bow now. And you can see the scorch. There's no doubt about it. You can see what has happened to this ship on its flaming reentry into the Earth's atmosphere. Number 70 helicopter, this white Sikorsky Sea King, is just a few yards forward of the command module and toward us, toward the ship. In other words, it's not sitting over anybody. If it were, you would be getting an awful lot of rotor blade wash beating down on the astronauts. This is not the case, and it cannot be, and it never would be. The photo helicopter is sitting off in the catbird seat, if you will, in the most advantageous position for picture taking that it can possibly assume under, you know, all weather conditions and sea conditions being considered. And just aft and behind the command module is number 66, and that is the recovery one. Recovery number one. Everything out here has a numerical designation. In back of that is number 64, and that helicopter is Swim 2, which dispatched the first three-man team of UDT boys into the water. Number 64, which was piloted by Dick Barrett and co-piloted by Lieutenant George Kahn, both Imperial Beach residents right now, because, as we said before, this is like walking next door to your job, be at Imperial Beach, to be near your base. Number 66, which sits just aft of the command module now. These are all white Navy helicopters with black markings and big, tall letters that we can now easily read from here. Number 66, with Lieutenant Commander, or Commander Don Jones and Lieutenant Junior Grade Bruce Johnson, is the Recovery 1, which dispatched Clancy Hattelberg into the Pacific Ocean. And Clancy is very, very busy winding up his work right now, the decontamination procedure. Apollo 11, floating with no problem. But inside that fascinating piece of multi-million-dollar hardware bobbing on the Pacific blue right now is a priceless amount of moon magic, lunar rock samples. I'm sure you saw the articles before we did, because communications, word from the great world outside, is a little bit slow in coming here onto the ship. But we did see an article probably a day or two after you did, to the effect that some gentleman had offered $5,000 a pound for any amount of the lunar samples that he could get. Well, I doubt that he's going to get them. I doubt that anyone but the most knowledgeable and authoritative gentlemen in their fields of geology and mineralogy, any other allied fields that they want to break open as far as what the lunar surface is all about. These are the people who will get these samples.
This is the Voice of America broadcasting throughout the world with live coverage of the landing and recovery of Apollo 11. Now down in the Pacific Ocean, the helicopters above preparing to bring them aboard. The live coverage from the USS Hornet from correspondent Don Blair.
On the Billy Pugh basket into helicopter number 66, which should happen, I'd say maybe 10 minutes from now. When they get here and they get into the MQF, the mobile quarantine facility, there's a gentleman inside, a NASA engineer, a Japanese boy by the name of John Hirasaki. And he will hasten to get the contingent rock samples out of Neil Armstrong's moon suit. Now, if you were on the mark watching the moonwalk when it happened live the other night, we could not see it because we don't have the ability to get live TV here on the ship. We can get the greatest TV in the world off of it, but we can't get it back on. But if you were watching, then you know that one of the first things Neil Armstrong did was to put some very, very easily acquired rock samples into a packet on the front legs of his spacesuit. The idea being that if something happened that they had to immediately rocket off the face of the moon, that all would not be lost, that he would have taken at least part of the moon with him. Of course, it didn't happen. He then went on to bigger and better things, if you will, and got many, many more pounds of lunar rocks. But that particular sample, whether it be one, two, or three boulder-type things, rocks, maybe the size of the palm of your hand. John Hirasaki, inside the mobile quarantine facility, he's been living there since 5 days before recovery. He will immediately take those samples and insert them into two plastic bags. First, you put them into one vinyl bag and semi-seal it with a heat sealant type of clamp. Then it goes into another bag and gets sealed with a heat clamp. Absolutely watertight and airtight. After that, it is put into a very, very rigid, thick-walled metal container. This metal container is put into an airlock, a transfer lock, they call it, out through the wall of the MQF. The whole lock is flooded with the same sodium hypochlorite that they are using now to decontaminate themselves, to scrub down each astronaut and the big swimmer. After it's been soaking in that material for 15 minutes, then the lock is emptied out, and a person on the outside can then open it up, take out the bag, and this will be rushed. And I do mean rushed. It will be on a plane very, very shortly off this deck, within hours, off the deck of the carrier, a COD flight, they call it. Carrier onboard delivery. It's one of the twin-engine planes which brought in the presidential press corps to this ship last night. Those contingency samples will be rushed to Houston. The rest of the lunar samples will be kept on board and will make the normal evolution, the normal time it takes to get back to Houston in the MQF with the astronauts. Everything else that the astronauts brought back with them, the flags of all nations, the plaques from the Soviet cosmonauts that were given to Frank Borman when he made his wonderful Win Friends for America type tour of the Soviet Union. There were several plaques given to him that were taken to the moon. These will be brought out, but these will all have to make the regular trip inside the MQS. So we are now getting a good look from our point of view from President Richard Nixon. He is on the captain's bridge peering out. And maybe we use the term the president is smiling broadly too often. But if we do, it's only because he often smiles very, very broadly. And he's out here enjoying himself immensely. He is the object of as much picture taking as the Apollo 11 astronauts are. some 800 to 1,000 yards off our port side right now. Because the men with the cameras on the deck, the sailors, with their little camera devices, can get much, much closer shots of their president than they can of the moon men right now. And as it were, they're never going to get a really close shot of the astronauts, because when they do see them, they'll be...
The first astronaut is in the Billy Pugh net and is being hauled up into the helicopter. He's halfway there, and the hoist stopped briefly. The first astronaut being hauled up out of the water into the helicopter. We don't have an identification of which man it is.
Identify yourself.
This is Rhett Turner in Houston describing the pickup from the Pacific Ocean. We're monitoring the Airbus talking to Mission Control through the Hornet and monitoring television transmissions from the aircraft carrier. The Billy Pugh net is now dropping back down to the surface in preparation of picking up the second man. We will interpret anything we hear the helicopter say. The net is now back down to the surface, back down to the second man is in the net and is being hoisted up into the helicopter. These hoists work very fast. The helicopter only about 20 or 30 meters, if that far, above the surface. The report that the astronaut is at the hatch. He's hopping off inside the helicopter. Astronaut number two. Whoops. The hoist didn't quite make it all the way up to the door. Now it has. Now it's there. And that about to be dropped down again for the third astronaut to be picked up out of the life raft into the helicopter. The Apollo crew now being hoisted aboard the helicopter from the life raft, attached to their command and service module, bobbing gently in the Pacific. Here comes the net again. This small basket device, covered on three sides with ropes so that a man can't fall out. He just hops in the front and then can be lifted quickly from the raft up into the helicopter. There was considerable difficulty on some of the past missions in picking up men from bobbing seas from a hovering helicopter, but they've refined this procedure. There's a lot of give in this line now, and they've learned to do it much, much better in the last three missions. There goes the third man, halfway up, and then the hoist stops. Still about another 5 or 6 meters to go. The sling moving much slower now, as the third man, inside his biological protective garment, is being hoisted on board the helicopter. Only a matter of minutes now until all three astronauts are back safely on the deck of the carrier Hornet. And that's when we would consider their return to Earth as completely safe. Not until they're on the deck does the space agency consider the return complete. The third astronaut now inside the helicopter. It's called Navy 66, probably called Recovery 1. Now the door swings shut and the helicopter begins to swing on off to the side to make a wide sweep and come back into the landing deck of the aircraft carrier Hornet. Now out there in the Pacific below, the command module is left with the three swimmers and one of the men who helped scrub down the spacecraft, who handed in the biological protective garments, Lieutenant Clancy Hattelberg, and the other swimmers of the UDT team, the underwater demolition team, as it's called, are now taking care of that very valuable and historic Apollo 11. All of the samples from the moon still inside the spacecraft, bobbing gently in the Pacific. The men in the helicopter. That was the recovery reporting has three astronauts aboard. We can hear the Hornet and Airbus confirming procedures. An now the helicopter moves off from its hovering position, and in just minutes, maybe less, we should see the helicopter touch down on the deck of the carrier Hornet.
This is Swim 2 alongside command module. The big swimmer is decontaminating the module this time. The three swimmers are in the round.
There was word from the swimmers.
Mission Director George Hage has just thanked the flight controllers assembled here in the control center on behalf of himself and General Phillips for the way in which they conducted this mission.
This is Air Boss. I haven't seen any more of the Air Boss.
That's Air Boss discussing the condition of the spacecraft and what the swimmers are going to do to it now. There's a continuing scrub down procedure to be followed, apparently. And then the Hornet will maneuver over very close to the spacecraft, and a hoist will lift the spacecraft up onto the hangar deck, and it will be sealed inside a container and isolated again biologically for return to Houston. The helicopter carrying the astronauts has made a swing to the left away from the aircraft carrier, making a wide sweeping circle to come back into the deck in the appropriate direction to bring astronauts Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins back to the deck, standing on the bridge watching the President of the United States.
The car is being lit up here yet. We're waiting until the crew is on the carrier. A few are being wetted in anticipation of a match, but we don't see any lit yet.
That's right. The mission is not complete. The astronauts are not safely home until they're on the deck of the carrier. Mission control standing by. Their job is done. It has been completed. Once that spacecraft touches the water, there's nothing more that mission control can do. Nothing can be done by remote control from back here in Houston through the worldwide network. And all the men can relax and watch and wait. But the cigars aren't lit yet. Let's go to Don Blair on the Hornet.
You'll hear the rotor blades pattering down on this deck right now. Here they come. Don Jones has picked up astronauts number 4, 5, and 6. He picked up Borman, Lovell, and Anders at Christmas time. Now he has the moon astronaut in helicopter number 66. Listen to those blades. They're on the deck.
Recovery complete. Shut down.
Recovery complete. Shut down. That's the word. Recovery complete. Shut down. Sitting in the back, in marked contrast, are the idle Marine helicopters which brought the President and his party on board this morning. One air crewman just ran out and placed a sign right under the co-pilot's window where the presidential seal is on the presidential helicopter, same position. I can read it from here. It says, now Hornet plus three. Now Hornet plus three. You are here. Here with us. The blades are coming to a stop. And we have America's moon men back in good order on the deck of a proud prime recovery ship. An excellent U.S. Navy band is standing below me on the flight deck and slightly to my right. Just a few showers sprinkling across the deck. I haven't seen anybody make so much as a comment about it. In fact, I'm probably the only one talking about it right now. The ship seems to be turning more into that rain. But just a few widely scattered sprinkles and a smartly dressed all-in-white Navy band led by Chief Petty Officer Larry Horton has marched out tragically straight in front of the number 66 Hilo. The chief has raised his hands in the air, and in a moment you'll hear the music of one of the finest bands that any of us have had the pleasure to hear. Off we go from the wild blue yonder, and back they came from the wild blue Pacific. It wasn't terribly wild, but I imagine if we had stayed with the original recovery spot designated for this recovery ship, right up until yesterday, it may have been a wild blue Pacific because thunderstorms were forecast in that area. Matter of fact, we may be getting a little residual type storm here now. Standing out on the flight deck as the aircraft handlers fold up the rotor blades of the prime recovery Hilo, recovery one,